church. Do you want to turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John, please, 1 John. Good morning to everybody here. Good morning to those who are visiting. Lots of visitors here today, even all the way from America. Remember that place, the old colony we gave up? Yeah. And from Saffron Walden. There we go. Okay, look, we are in 1 John chapter 4, and we're just going to be reading four verses. So will you stand this morning for the reading of God's word? 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1 through verse 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and I've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this short passage. And I pray, Lord, that you bless us and that you speak to every one of us, Lord, what the Holy Spirit desires to impart this morning. I pray, Lord, and ask that we are both challenged and changed and encouraged by the Spirit, and we ask this in the Saviour's name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Now, I don't know how you feel, but it seems to be the fact that Christmas is over. Is it over yet? No, it's not over yet. Not at the Pete house. Family gatherings are somewhat finished. Dinners, okay. Mince pies all finished. Maybe chocolate finished, just the toffee ones, maybe at mum's house. I just left the toffee ones in the box. And maybe some of you are considering, when are we going to take down the decorations? Yes? Not yet. Look, maybe as it's coming up to the new year, you're going to get fit. I don't know, join the gym, be determined. Some are shaking their heads. Be determined to do better in the coming year. Maybe you've considered that. Maybe you'll consider that tomorrow. However, maybe you've also considered that in the new year, you are going to be more spiritual, more godly, more determined. You're going to read more. You're going to study more. You're going to pray more. Maybe you've been bought a book about daily devotionals or downloaded apps and everything else, and you are determined to do them. Anyone done that yet? Andy and Chelsea. However, look, maybe there's this niggling at the back of your mind. You're somewhat determined to do this. However, the voice in the back of your head says, every year I'm determined to do this. I start off well, and then something happens. Well, look, if that's the case with you, and I think it's the case with many people, you start well and end up not doing so well. If that's the case with you, then this message is for you. Now, today's message is entitled, He Who Is In You. He Who Is In You. Now, in this letter, the Apostle John is writing to combat false teaching and false teachers. He is countering the teaching of the Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics, is where we get it comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge, taught that matter, material things, were evil, okay? But if man desired to achieve salvation. It is possible to achieve salvation. And their teaching was this. All you need to do is renounce the material world and just embrace the spiritual world, okay? Everything of matter is evil. And of the spiritual realm, this is the only thing that really matters. The knowledge of the spiritual realm, your application of the spiritual realm. Now, the conclusion is this, that the body is evil and the spiritual realm is all you need to concentrate on. Therefore, the conclusion is this, and this is the horrendous bit. What you do in the body doesn't matter. What you do in the body and your bodily acts is unimportant. So you can carry on doing what you like, sexual sin and everything else, laziness and everything else. It doesn't matter. All you need is the gnosis. All you need is the knowledge of God or the information about God, and what you actually do is irrelevant, okay? Now, you can see how in the first century and even today in the 21st century, how attractive this would be. All you need is the knowledge of God, but you don't need to be transformed. All you need to do is learn the information, download 1,000 sermons, be able to quote biblical verses, but your transformation is irrelevant. Matter doesn't matter. Now, John is saying this. You're saved. You're saved by grace through faith, essentially in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was God in the flesh. He was perfect, although he was in the flesh. Jesus wasn't a phantom, just a spirit, but he was the God-man, Jesus Christ, coming in the flesh. Amen? And John is saying, look, I know him. I rested on his bosom. We were good friends. We hang out. I touched him. I handled him. We had meals together. I handled the word of life. He is God incarnate in the flesh. And what we do in the body really does matter. Now, you may know him too. You may know the Lord. Now, I'm sure you, like me, want to go further on in your Christian walk in 2024. Amen? You want to improve, you want to progress, you want to advance, and not just sit back on what we already know or how much we've already been transformed, but to recommit ourselves and be transformed and be a very different people this time next year. Are you with me? Because I want to be changed. I want to be challenged. I want to be transformed. And I want to progress in my relationship with Jesus. Now, all of these things are possible. We can progress. There's more to learn. We don't know it all. However, there are some things you're going to need to do less. And there are other things that you're going to need to do more. Okay? Now, I want us to just get straight into this text. It's not a long teaching today. I just want to, if I can, impart one thing to you this morning as an encouragement. So let's have a look in verse 1. Okay, we're going to get through these first three verses, a simple overview in 1 John chapter 4. So he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets has gone out or have gone out into the world. Now, he starts off with this wonderful Greek word. I love this, the beloved, agapetos. Okay, this is the word. And he assures them that you are beloved of the Lord. Okay? And I think we need to be assured of ourselves that God really loves you. Okay? Can you accept that? Can you believe that? John is essentially saying this, you are very dear to God. Christ came for you. Christ died for you. He wants to live in you, and he wants a deep relationship with you. Any kind of accusation, any kind of voice that says, well, everyone's saved in the church, but you're not. Everyone's loved, but God really knows your deep sins. God knows and loves the ones who are really committed to him, but you are kind of on the fringes. You're not in the clan. You're just pretending. If you hear that voice, that's not the voice of God, okay? When you hear something like this, you have three options. It's either God, you, or the enemy. So when you hear something like this, you need to ask yourself, is this contrary to the scriptures? Because this is what we have to go on, okay? And I would say a voice like that is contrary to the scripture. You are the beloved. You are God's beloved. And as dear to God, we are warned, you see? God's given this warning. Look at the text about false prophets. Okay. Now, a false prophet is essentially this. It's somebody who's operating by another spirit. Very simple, okay? Somebody who's operating by something which is demonic. If it's not the Holy Spirit, and there's a spirit that they can control and manipulate and use and get information from, that spirit is from a different realm, okay? So we're going to be seeing, how do we test these spirits? Now, some Christians would say this. How is it that certain religious people can believe such nonsense? I don't know how they believe it. I don't know why they would believe such things. I don't really know. And the answer is this. Because their faith is operated by another spirit. Okay? It's not just head knowledge. They are seeing results. Now, I lived in India. Okay? There are other spirits out there. It's very evident. Okay? Now, before I was a Christian, my BC days, okay, I was living in Brighton. That's another spirit altogether. However, I went to a palm reader. He was Indian. He was a palm reader. And I asked him certain questions. I went there because I wanted my fortune read and everything else. Now, he told me something nobody could tell me, okay? And he said that my mother was a twin and my father was a twin. Most people in my family didn't know this, okay? Why is that? Because my father's twin died at birth, my mother's twin died at birth. How did he know? By another spirit. I mean, it's very rare that both your parents are going to be twins and both those twins die at birth. He knew it. That had me sucked in, you see? This is knowledge. This is knowledge from an outside source coming in to convince you, to pull you in. People don't just believe anything. They need some kind of hook. Is that the case? So John is saying it's a different spirit at work. It's not just a false teaching, something odd that something's coming in, but there's a power at work. Okay. And Paul emphasizes this. Now, this scripture is often overused, but Paul emphasizes, now we do not wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's who you're wrestling with. And John is agreeing with the Apostle Paul and saying, there is something else at work, and that something else is after you because you are beloved of God, and they want you back into their realm. You've been chased down because the enemy wants you because you've joined the other camp, okay? You've gone from the camp of the world, which is under the sway of the evil one, into the camp of God, which is eternal and beloved by him. You see that? And he says, many false prophets has gone out into the world. Many. Now, I looked up yesterday how many religions there are in the world, and at the moment, there's about 4,000 so-called recognized religions. That's a lot of false prophets, okay? And John is saying to them, anyone who comes into the church, anyone comes into your family, anyone who speaks into your life, okay, whatever they say to you must test the spirit, okay? Now, we need to keep on our toes with this because I think in the Christian realm, and I've traveled around enough, have itching ears. There's certain things we like to hear, and I would say in particular, things which seem to be very super spiritual, okay? If you go to this church, you're going to get a particular blessing, or you need to read this guy's book, And also be careful of this. Books that you read, people that you listen to, change their minds, okay? So you may read a book from 20 years ago, but that person is a completely different person today. Now, there's an evangelical teacher in America who has a church. You go on his website, absolutely sound. Tick all the boxes, evangelical, tick every box, okay? And he has a congregation every Sunday, a bit like us, over 20,000. Okay, every Sunday, okay? However, just a few years ago, he changed his doctrine completely. He said, Jesus is not the Messiah anymore. Jesus never even claimed to be the Messiah. Therefore, Israel did not reject him as Messiah. And the people of his church clearly haven't read his book because they're still going, okay? Thinking that he believes and teaches the same as them, but this is a different Jesus, okay? So we need to keep on our toes. Amen? Right, with that laid down, we're going to get a little bit technical before we branch out a bit. Listen what John says. Okay, and I love the heart of John. Is look, he's the one who knows Jesus. He rested on his bosom. They were friends, okay? And he's saying, look, if Jesus loves me this much, I was at his cross when he died. I was there. I see him bleed. I know he loves you. Therefore, I'm warning you. There's a passion behind this, you see? He knows what a deep relationship one can have with Jesus, and don't let anyone steal it off you. See that? Beautiful, beautiful heart of John. And he says this, look, verse 2. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, I want to unpack this a bit, so pay a little bit of attention to this, okay? He says, by this you will know the Spirit of God, okay? Here is the test. He says, every spirit, meaning any person claiming to be a prophet, any person claiming to be spiritually inspired, okay? And a man who claims to be anointed at the front of a pulpit, okay? Anyone's claiming to have this anointing of God, who's spiritually inspired, should agree with these things. If he agrees with these things, he has the Spirit of God. Here are the things. First, that Jesus is the Messiah, okay? Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, okay? If he agrees that Jesus is the Messiah, according to the Old Testament, so all the things of the Old Testament that Jesus be born of a virgin, that he would grow up in Bethlehem, that he's going to be the suffering servant, that he's going to rise on 3 days. All of these scriptures come riding lowly on a donkey, dying for the sins of the world. All of these scriptures, okay, if someone is speaking about this Jesus, that's the Spirit of God. Now, there's another thing he adds to this, okay, because every religion has a Jesus in it, doesn't it? A version of Jesus. But pay attention to this. He says that Jesus Christ has come. And what John is saying is this, that he pre-existed. He existed beforehand, and he came in from an outside source. Very important to get this. Okay, it's not just that he came to my house, that he just came to the Jewish people, but he came from an outside source. He pre-existed. And he came in to our world. Now, this is the author of John's gospel. And we heard last week that Jesus is the one who is the word that became flesh and tabernacled and dwelt among us. This is the Jesus that John is speaking of. And John is talking about the whole personhood of Jesus, okay? Not just someone's claiming to be Jesus. Essentially, John is talking about the biblical Jesus, okay? So we're talking about the incarnation. This is all the things that we've been looking at and celebrating over the last month, okay? Sinless life, the miraculous man, the healer, the one who was crucified. We're talking about the resurrection, talking about the one of the ascension, the one who bestowed the Holy Spirit. This is the Jesus John is talking about. And in fact, there's no other Jesus, okay? He's either the real Jesus or there's not. Amen? Okay? Even over the Christmas period, I say this respectfully, but there were a lot of Muslim groups out throughout England saying, no, the real Jesus, okay? Well, we know the real Jesus. But you see, they're out in force to say, oh, there is another Jesus, and the Christians have got it wrong. And John is saying, you be careful of this. It's this Jesus that I'm talking about, the pre-existed one, the preeminent one. Amen? And then he says this, look, every spirit or any person claiming to be a prophet, spiritually inspired, that denies these facts is basically Antichrist, which means against the biblical Jesus, okay? He said that you've heard that this Antichrist is coming into the world, and now he's here. I warned you that he's coming, so all the things that's happening around you shouldn't be surprised. I warned you, and he's here. He's on your doorstep, and there he is presenting himself. Okay, now the gospel is something we need to hold our hands on to very, very closely, okay, because it's a particular gospel. And Paul warns the church in Galatians of a similar thing, Galatia. Okay, he said, even if we or an angel preach any other gospel than the one we have preached unto you, let them be anathema, let them be accursed, meaning thrown out. When you read this in scriptures, twice in the scriptures, about anathema or thrown out or accursed, doesn't mean you go along and curse them, but you throw them out of the church. Those who are in the church are saved. This is the theology. Those outside are accursed. They're not unto God anymore, okay? And Paul actually goes on to say, even if we come and preach another gospel. So Paul says, I'm going to come back next week. And he preaches something contrary. He said, ignore me, okay? Even if we or an angel preach anything different to what you've already received, reject it. These are coming from, just reiterate this, an outside source. All these spiritual things are coming from an outside source. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts in the wicked places. Now, let's have a look. Now, this is the verse I really want us to just focus on. Verse 4. So John has laid down this premise. The spiritual realm is real, and the spiritual realm is, in a sense, out to deceive. And Jesus said exactly the same thing. Be aware of false prophets, those who claim to be spiritually infused and come to confuse the church. John says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And all God's people said, you are of God, he's saying, you have no reason to be led astray. If you stick with the word. Don't need to be led astray by something which is false, by something which is spiritual, or even philosophy to stroke your intellect ego. And he says, you have overcome them. You have overcome these false spirits because you're born again. It's nothing in you and your mind, but because you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you are able to overcome falsehood and deception. Therefore, he's saying this. You don't need an angelic visitation. But what you do need, what is necessary, is the indwelling spirit, which is absolutely necessary and essential. That to live the Christian life prescribed in the New Testament, one needs the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you'd agree with that. Amen? And you know when you're weak. You know when you need topping up. You know when you're low. You know when your relationship is falling apart with the Lord. You know how to repent, to get back into a relationship with him. And God is always calling his people to repentance because he always loves us. And he wants to have a relationship. And he wants to converse with us. So the Holy Spirit, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We're dealing with the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tells us he's our comforter. He's our guide. He's the remembrancer, reminds us of all things, and he's a teacher. And he teaches us, as we heard last week, through the word of God. Very simple, through the word of God. Now, I want us to focus on this, that he who's in us is greater than he who is in the world. Now, the Holy Spirit, first of all, we need to realize and recognize that he is a person, okay? Known as the one in the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. Now, if a congregation is leaving out the Holy Spirit, they're leaving out God, okay? Because God is triune, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as man is triune. We have the body, we have the soul, and the spirit for those who are born again. Now, I was speaking with Raimondo last week, and we're talking about together when the apostles received the Holy Spirit. Most would say at Pentecost, and I understand why, but we know that after the resurrection, Jesus goes into the upper room, and they're hiding out in the upper room, the Jews, for fear of their fellow Jews. Remember the passage? And Jesus stood in the midst of them, okay? And I love the bit in the text that said, and they were glad, okay? The biggest understatement ever in world history. And they were glad. I think they must have been British. I think the Americans may give a bit more of a cheer. The British would have said, well, that's good. He really did resurrect. Fantastic. The scriptures are true. Okay. Are you smiling? No, I'm not. Staying very stoic. Now look, he breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then we know in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait until you've received the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't go off, as many Christians do. I know Jesus, and they go wandering off. He says, no, you need to wait now in Jerusalem to receive the empowering. And then we know in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost comes, and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember the text, okay? But it's very important for us, and I've reiterated this so much from this pulpit, and I will continue to do so. There was this out-breathed Holy Spirit waiting to be empowered and then the empowering. Speaking of Raimondo last week, I said, it's like this, having a mobile phone and having a mobile phone switched on. You've got the mobile phone, the Holy Spirit, but now you want it switched on. Now you've got a signal. Amen? Now you can have a call and a relationship. That's the difference. We need the empowering to live out the Christian life prescribed in the New Testament. Now, of course, when someone receives the Holy Spirit, you become the wacky Christian. Okay? We know that. You're the ones that stand on the street corners. You're the ones who get called the happy clappy Christians. You've heard it before. You are one of those Christians, okay? Well, look, be of good cheer. The apostles were told that they were drunk. They said, oh, they must have been drunk. They're drinking. That's why they're speaking in tongues and everything else. However, it opened up in them a lack of fear. The apostles now had no more fear. They weren't hiding out for fear of the Jews. In fact, they were working among the Jews, preaching the gospel. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit and said, now we're going to preach the gospel in boldness. Not just the gospel, but in power of the Holy Spirit. And it said that the people were cut to the heart when they heard it and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? They said, repent and believe, put your trust in the Lord Jesus, be baptized. For this promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This is available to all those who believe. Amen? So let's have a look in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 11. And Paul here is talking about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 11. I'll be reading this from the NLT. Okay. Paul says this. We're going to read this slowly, okay? The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Take that in a second. Look at your text. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the dead lives in you. That's what the text is saying. That should blow your mind. That Spirit that once dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness, dwelt in the Shekinah glory in the temple, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in the believer. Okay? I don't think there's anything much more I can say from the pulpit that's going to top that this morning. That's the same Spirit. So when you read the Old Testament, you hear about the burning bush and the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple and the Shekinah glory and the and John the Baptist's dad going into the temple. That is the same spirit that lives in you, according to the scriptures. This is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That should blow our minds. Amen? Now, John says this. Everyone who believes on Jesus becomes a child of God. Not somebody that believes that Jesus ever existed. Most historians would agree with that. But those who are believing on Jesus, meaning those who are putting their trust in him, those who are following him, those who are denying themselves and going after the Christ life. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's read a couple of verses, 4 and 5. This is an encouragement to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says this. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? This is the question. Who can win the battle in this world? It says this. Only those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Only those. This is not to stroke your ego, because you didn't do it. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. And it supersedes everything. It supersedes race. It supersedes language. It supersedes culture. It's about a man that came to die for the sins of the world. And he's saying this. Only those who have put their trust in him and believe on him that Jesus is the Son of God, only those can overcome the world. Now, he's saying the battle is on, all right? There's evil forces, there's evil demons, there's evil spirits working through fallen man and all of these things he's saying. And the only way we can see this is by looking around the world and saying, how is the world doing? No, we can argue, we can moan, we say, oh, well, George Soros is in charge of the world. Bill Gates is in charge. Keep your eyes on Elon Musk. But don't worry about any of these. Jesus has overcome the world. He's dealt and put people in their place. And those who are not in their place, he will put in their place. Okay? I'm always mindful of this. One thing I'm looking forward to in eternity is seeing when Pontius Pilate stands before Jesus. There's going to be a time when Pontius Pilate has to stand before Jesus. I think that Pontius Pilate is going to feel more uncomfortable standing before Jesus than Jesus did before Pontius Pilate, don't you? But everyone's going to go there. Everyone's going to stand there. And they're going to go, oh dear. Some will say, I heard about this person, Jesus, when Lois told me about Jesus in Sainsbury's. All these normal things, events, when that person gave me a tract when I was in London, or when that preacher, that strange ginger bloke shouting her out Cambridge, I thought he was a weirdo. He was actually right. And he was calling out for my soul to come to Jesus. Scary time. I would take no pleasure in it, but it's a reality. And everything which is in this world, which seems to be evil and everything else, don't worry about that. Jesus has got it, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit that lives in us is given to us as a gift. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul, definitely somebody saved by grace, like all of us, speaking here about God's everlasting love. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's just read this. What then shall we say to those things? If God loves us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wonderful that we're going to share an inheritance with Jesus. Mind-blowing. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it not God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is it also Christ that has been risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us? Very important that God makes intercession for us. Jesus is there. When we have an accuser of the brethren who accuses the brethren night and day, we have Jesus saying, no, he's mine. She's mine. That's one of my dear children. Don't worry about that. The blood's going to cover it. He's making intercession. Who then, it says, verse 35, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, will that separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That word love there is a continual present tense in the Greek, who continues to love us. Isn't that wonderful? It's not something that happens, it's something that's happening. We are in a relationship. For I am persuaded, says Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing. God created it. They're just created things. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That wonderful passage. Nothing can separate it. But stay in relationship with Christ. Stay in fellowship with him. Koinonia is the word. Have things in common with your fellow believer. Share Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit, as I said, was a gift. And not only that, is the gift giver. And as we go through the text, both Old and New Testament, the Holy Spirit is often depicted as fire. Okay? And Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, we are not to quench or extinguish the fire that is in us. We're to keep the fire burning. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul, who discipled Timothy, is writing to encourage Timothy. He says this. He's knowing the work of Timothy. He's there. He's working as a pastor. And he encouraged him in doing this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, it says this. This is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I want to remind you to fan the flame of the Spirit. What does it mean to fan the flame? To ignite it, to add oxygen in it, to get it burning, to get it going, you know? We have an open fire in our house, okay? It never worked before I got married. I couldn't switch it on. Then I got married to someone who I call the fire starter. And just as well, you need wood and you need coal and you need to do these things. And it's now easy to build a fire and it's easy to fan the flame. So I just simply go, Chelsea, help. I'm learning. Okay, it's been 3 years now and I'm learning. Chelsea comes in and does her thing and suddenly there's a big fire, okay? And I feel like the man, but... Okay, and Paul is saying the same thing. You need to fan those flames, okay? You need to learn, Timothy, to fan, keep the fire burning. Now, last week was a lot about the word, wasn't it? And I asked that question, are you dry, the word of God, are you dry? Now, this week is about the Spirit. Now, my question is this. Is it still burning in you? Or is it just flickering? Or is it like one of those little pilot lights in an oven? Is it just ticking over? Or is it burning for Jesus? I want to encourage you this, to fan that flame. I'm going to give you six things to encourage you before we go into 2024. Okay? So if you've got a pen, write down number one, the word must. Okay? Now, John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 30 said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Okay? That's us. Jesus must increase in your life and you must decrease. Now, take the picture of an ambulance coming down the road. Okay? Ambulance coming down the road. Everyone gets out. It's like the sea parting, isn't it? And the ambulance goes straight through. There's no hindrance, God willing. Everyone pulls aside and allows the ambulance. That's how the Holy Spirit should be working in our lives. And it's simple in one sense, hard in another. But I would exercise, if I dare say, the Holy Spirit this way. When he gives you that prompting to do it immediately. It's going to be tricky. It'd be easier the more you're obedient. Okay? When something comes to your mind, which you know and can discern it's of the Holy Spirit, don't delay. Just be immediately obedient. Be like the cars. Stand aside, pull aside, and just allow the Holy Spirit. It may be something like this. Go and pray for that person. Or I want you to give the gospel to that person. Or what about this one? Hold your tongue. Okay? The only way you're going to grow in the spiritual is by exercising it. Okay? Moving aside and saying, Lord, you come first. You need to be sat on the throne and I need to get off it and you need to be in your rightful place. I must decrease. He must increase in my life. I must deny myself and allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Now, that may come to your mind many things. Maybe here in the fellowship. Maybe your dedication to be here. Maybe to be here on time. I'm not going to condemn you for it. But I should be on time because I want to worship God. And I want to stay even longer because I want to fellowship with like-minded believers. But you may also say this, I don't really want to. I don't really want to fellowship. They're a bit annoying. God's people are a bit annoying. Well, I agree, they are, okay? And let's be honest. But we're not called to like everybody, but we are called and commanded to love everybody. Amen? So even in a sense of coming to church, okay, there is a denial of the self. You have to deny the self, okay? That's a tough one, but there's a must. And if you want to progress in your Christian life, like I want to progress in my Christian life, I have to do it, okay? Remember the wife shouting up the stairs, darling, we're going to church. You need to get out of bed. You need to come to church. And the husband shouted down the stairs, give me one good reason to go to church. She said, you're the pastor. Number two, desire. Number two, desire. Now write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Okay? Now Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth. This is mainly to do with gifts, but take this as a principle. He says, pursue love, there's your church going, and fellowship, and desire the spiritual gifts. Now when it comes to the Holy Spirit, ask, pray. I want to be renewed, Lord. I want to be refreshed. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like it says in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to be renewed in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. And you're going to have to ask sincerely, with that sincere desire and wish, to progress and say, call out to the Lord. I want to be filled. Fill my inner man with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me afresh this morning that I may serve you, Lord. How is it that I can serve you this morning? James said you don't receive because you ask amiss. You have to ask genuinely and say, Lord, I need that filling. I desire more of Jesus. We sing it, but we must also ask for it. Now, the third one is this. Cultivate. Invest time. Anything in the spiritual realm takes time. Now, you have 24 hours in a day. The normal breakup is you sleep 8, you work 8, and you've got another 8. What do you do with those? Okay? There may be things that you need to cut out in your life. There may be areas in your life where you think, well, I need to cut out or get out your house and go for a walk. These are basic things, but things that we can forget about. Number four, technology detox. Everyone says, amen. Okay. And this is just practical. Maybe it's downsizing things on your phone or whatever. Let's just be honest. We do use the internet. And there's great stuff on it as well. Maybe there's some subscriptions that you need to cancel. I don't know, stop things popping up for distractions. Is that fair enough? Just practical ways you can help in your spiritual life to progress. I've, for the last three nights, have turned my phone off at night. Okay, that sounds very basic. I tend to keep my phone on in case something happens. Generally, nothing happens. Okay, but I get this, I need to check and keep an eye on it. Now, let me just tell you about this. Pretty heavy for a Sunday morning, but let me just say, I had a mother bring her son to me and said he's not progressing in his Christian life, okay? And will you speak with him? So I said, yeah, let me speak with him, okay? I'm adjusting this a little bit because it's Sunday morning, okay? And then the mother's standing there watching me. And I asked her, off you go, Mum, okay? And I asked the boy outright, because he was of that age, how much pornography are you watching? It's gone as quiet as it has in here. He's like, whoa. I didn't say, are you? He's just of that age. I'm just threw it out there. And he's like, son. I said, what are you watching it on? He goes, on my smartphone. I said, well, that's not very smart. All you need to do is turn it off and leave it downstairs. He goes, but it's got my clock on it. It's got my alarm on it, yeah? Everyone heard this? It's got everything on it. I said, go and buy yourself an alarm clock. Okay, it's very simple. He goes, but they're about £10. I said, how much is your soul worth? Okay, I don't know what happened to him, but that's the advice. Removing temptation, be it in that sexual way for this young man, or just entertainment, or just checking everything else. I hope that's some practical advice in church on a Sunday morning. Number five, listen carefully. Do not underestimate, write this one down. Do not underestimate your spiritual ability or the ability of the spirit that lives in you. Okay? Let me just remind you. He who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world, okay? You have the Spirit of God in you, okay? The Bible is declaring this, okay? And a lot of the epistles that you read in the New Testament, which I'm thankful for, are written to slaves, are written to prostitutes, uneducated people, okay? You exercise these things. You're able to take a lot more than you think. I heard some people speaking recently about going through the Bible in 1 year or going through the Bible in 3 years. I reckon you could do it in 6 months easily. You're more than capable. By opening yourself up to Jesus and being dedicated to the word, he'll expand your mind, expand you, and you'll grow spiritually. And you've got to consider that Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Don't limit yourself. You see other people out there who do amazing things in their life, which don't have the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. You can do much more than you think you can when you exercise it. So I'm saying this, push yourself and you'll be surprised what God can do in you. Okay, remember in my early 20s, I couldn't read or write. I had to teach myself, but it wasn't until I became a Christian and I started reading Greek and I started reading Hebrew. Even my Hebrew teacher who taught people who's dyslexic said, how do you know Hebrew? And I think it's a different part of my brain because it goes right to left rather than left to right. However, I think looking back and it's probably God rather than taking the credit myself. So you, with the Holy Spirit living in you, you can do much more than you think. Amen? And he gets the glory. You can't boast. Look what I did. But look what he can do to somebody who bows down to him and honors him. Number six, last one. Know this. Simple obedience is what God wants. That's it. He said it in the Old Testament, says it in the New, reiterates it in the New Testament. Simple obedience to the Lord. Look in 1 John. We're finished with this passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Maybe Andy, I can ask you to come up. And this is the verse before we went into 1 John chapter 4. It's the last verse in 1 John chapter 3. It says this. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. So you want to remain in fellowship? Obey what he says. And we know that he lives in us because the spirit he gave us lives in us. If you can testify this morning, you know the Holy Spirit lives in you, to simply obey the Lord and see what he can do. See what he can do with a vessel handed over to him, willing to obey and willing to grow in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Remember, let's stand as we continue to worship. And remember these things, that he who's in you is greater than he who is in the world. We, says Paul, are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But, John says, he must increase, but we must decrease. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this short passage. Lord, I pray for myself, I pray for everyone here, that we, Lord, that we do decrease, that we make it intentional for us to decrease, that you may increase in our lives. And Lord, we want to bow down to you, and we expect, Lord, by your grace, to show fruit of the Spirit, Lord, in our daily lives. And may that be honoring to you. May the words and our worship be a sweet smelling aroma unto your nostrils. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.